All right, through chapter 6, we are in Ephesians chapter 6, let's read verses 1, 2, and 3 together. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and with thy master live long on the earth. All right, addressing children now, we address mothers and fathers, and husbands and wives. Now, children. How would you define children? What age would roughly be the children, or do they have no age? What is this referring to here, either? Older children or younger children? Any hands on that?
It's probably referring to ones that are still at home.
Still at home?
That maybe are under a certain age, maybe 18.
Under a certain age, all right. But what is the command for children in this verse right here? What's the command? Any hands on that? And what does the command mean, Pastor Dan?
You obey. Obey the parents.
What does this next phrase mean, in the Lord? Do you think? Any hands on that? Obey your parents in the Lord. Yes, Pastor Dan?
Probably one would obey the Lord, I mean, provided they're not giving any contrary instruction, contrary directions, or contrary scripture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have to obey the parents as they would obey the Lord.
Are there some parents that are disobedient to the Lord? Mm-hmm. Pardon me?
Yes.
Yes, they are. So those are not the kind of parents we should obey. We're to respect them, yes, that's fine, respect them, but not to obey them in the things that are contrary to the Lord and His will. For this is right, obedience, proper commands of mom and dad. What's the second verse mean? Honor thy father and thy mother. Is that limited to children?
Oh.
No, it's not. Bill?
No, I was going to say offspring of any age, whether they're little children or older, they respect their parents.
So what's the difference between honor and obey?
Well, obey is conditional because it has to be in the Lord.
All right.
As we discussed in the previous verse. Respect, that's because of who they are.
Honor, all right.
That's not conditional.
My father and mother, which is, what commandment is that according to this verse? What commandment?
Second commandment.
The first commandment.
The first commandment with promise. Is that a difference from the first commandment? First commandment with promise?
Yeah,
what was the first commandment? Right. First commandment, at least with promise, and so it's an important commandment. And then in verse number 3, why should these children, Pastor,
it's interesting, with promise, you know, the clause there, that it may be well with thee upon the earth. I think that's how the, I don't know if that's exactly right, but by the a condition, but a promise is attached to the commandment.
Well with thee.
By, you know, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all the heart, with mind, soul, and body, you know, and strength. But as far as with promise is an interesting.
Yes.
Aspect of His commandments of the 10.
That's right. Well with thee, so father and mother to honor, and children to obey their parents as well. Long on the earth, well with thee, and long on the earth. Right in verse number 4, let's read 4, 5, and 6 together. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. For servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, singleness in our heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Right, verse 4, ye fathers. Now, what are they, how do you define your fathers? And why is this a distinction here? That's something that Pastor Dan?
Your pastor family. We just found out Mrs. Wake's homegoing. Although we are sad that she's no longer with us, we rejoice that she is now with the Lord our Savior, Lord and Savior.
And who's that from?
Know that we're keeping you our close in our hearts and our prayers. The Lord grant you much comfort during this difficult time. With much love, Carl and Vicki.
Carl and Vicki Albers. Wave to Carl and Vicki Albers. Well, with that, thank you very much.
Thank you,
Carl and Vicki.
Thank you, Vicki.
Ye fathers, it's talking about children, obey your parents. It says, honor your father and your mother. What would verse 4 mean in extension to that? Ye fathers. Yes, Pastor.
Provoke them not to wrath.
Provoke not the children. Wrath. What would a provoking father for children ending up in wrath be like? How would fathers provoke their children to wrath if this is commanded against them, do you think? The children have wrath at times, or do they never have wrath?
It's talking about the fathers, isn't it?
Yes.
The father's provoking up the children to wrath, and so the father is doing something that's causing unnecessary wrath from the child. He's provoking.
All right.
Not the child, but there's no provoking in this wrath, and that's a different situation. Mm-hmm. But if there's a provoking.
Do some children have wrath?
Probably every child does.
Every child. They yell and scream and carry on and disobey.
Anger.
You have Bill?
Anger.
Anger, all right. And fathers must discipline their children and keep them calm, cool, and collected where possible. And a lot of pastors, and fathers rather, do not do that, do they? They just let them go, and God commands fathers to stop provoking or provoke not your children so they're wrathful. Do it at the proper time. Now, what age of the child should a father or a mother discipline that child? At what approximate age should they discipline the child and keep them in line? Question then?
At an early age.
At an early age, which might be what? Anna?
Well, you might use slightly different punishments depending on how old the child is. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't want your baby to put their finger in the electrical socket, so you might touch their hand and be like, no, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want them to associate touch. You want them to associate touching the electrical, putting a finger in the electrical socket with a bad consequence, but you don't want it to be the bad consequence. You want it to prevent the actual consequence.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Now, what does it mean for a father? What it means, fathers mean parents, probably in that area, to provoke their children. What does that mean, to provoke?
Well, in the word provoke, and in scripture it's used different ways. We are to provoke one another to love and good works. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of to push someone in that direction.
Push them in that direction.
Or encourage them in that direction. I'm not sure.
Yes.
Finding exactly the right word, but
yes. Whether to wrath or to good things.
So, I mean,
whatever.
A child might be angry, like Bill was saying, but they wouldn't have wrath unless they were provoked by that father that wasn't doing what he was supposed to in the way he was interacting with this child.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some parents are cruel to their children.
Yes, they are. And you can provoke them to good behavior. You can do that, can't you? You can encourage them. Because the word provoke means encourage.
I mean, certain parents, I mean, I don't know why it came to my mind, but certain parents, it seems like I've seen something where they actually laugh at their child when they're like a baby or a year or two old, and purposely just mock them, and
yes,
it's just cruel.
It is
that
cruel.
Kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. But on the contrary, what should they bring them up as in verse 4? Instead of provoking to wrath and bad behavior. Questions at BATBC.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment if you can. Bring them up how? Children should be brought up how? And what's the difference in the two ways of breaking them up? Anna?
You're supposed to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
All
so
right.
the one is almost encouraging sin, these are provoking them to wrath, so you don't want to push them in the direction of sin, you want to push them in the direction of the Lord. Push them towards the Lord.
Right, and what's the difference between the nurture and admonition?
Not push, in terms of being pushed back in the direct. It's not clear what I said.
Well, I'm not asking that to you, anybody in the audience. What's the difference in nurture? Bring them up on the nurture and admonition.
Well, admonition is a warning. It's warning.
All right, question that.
Nurture is like in a caring manner, like when you take care of plants or when you take care of, you know, you have to have a certain number, so you have to be gentle with them. You have to be gentle with the children when they're bringing up. I mean, you can't be provoking and rough and mocking them. You have to be nurturing them.
Should children be disciplined when needed?
Yes.
Yes, they should. And one of those words, either admonition or nurture, would fit in there, and other ways would fit in as well. Some of it is admonition in talking, some of it is discipline. Should a Christian child at times be spanked by their mom and dad?
Yes.
Yes. Bill is not a mom and dad, but he knows that they have to be spanked as
needed. I certainly was.
Pardon me?
I was.
Yeah, you were a child, sir.
You were spanked.
Well,
spanked.
I was spanked too.
When they need it, but only when they need it. That's a good command to follow. Nurture that admonition, the Lord.
The always when they need it. Always.
That's good. All right, 4, 5, and 6. Number 5. This is the servants. What would be defined as a servant in these days? Or even today?
Well, at the time of this writing, there were people that were probably didn't have much money, so they served someone else in order to be able to eat and to be able to provide for themselves.
All right, and what's commanded of servants here in this verse?
They're to be obedient to those who are their masters.
Obedient to their masters. In other words, you can't have the servant dictating to the master what he should do. That's turning the whole cup around in the wrong direction. If you're going to be a servant to a master, you've got to serve the master. Are masters always proper what they do?
No,
they're not. But you still have to be under the master and serve if you're to be a godly servant, even though they may do something wrong. Obedient to them are your masters according to the flesh. What is that provision mean? According to the flesh. Questions at BATBC.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Yes, Tammy.
Well, they're not our ultimate master. They're only our fleshly master as far as...
All right.
They're not in charge. They're ultimately under the authority of God as well, whether or not they acknowledge it.
But while you're serving your master that is paying you and feeding you and housing you, if that's the case, in some cases in the early days, to be obedient and to be thankful that you have a job. Now, what is this according to the flesh? With fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. What would those commands and provisions mean? What is fear and trembling? What is singleness of heart? That's that.
Oneness of heart. Your main objective is to serve the Lord.
Serve the Lord, all right. As unto Christ. So it's a service not simply for the master, but also serving the Lord as he would want us to do. And for under some person, he's paying us and giving us a job and giving us food, whatever it might be, but to be obedient, not to be contrary to these who are the masters, fair and kindly. Then in verse number 6, I miss that TV up there and the people seeing us, and miss this one back here. See if we can get around it then, get something to plug in. Got to get a higher thing. Let's do it. In verse number 6, what is not to be the condition of masters or servants to masters? What is not to be the way to...
Did that one work down there, below there? Is that working? Below there?
This right here?
There's another one on that. Oh,
Dan, I forgot to push this button. Push it right now.
You push the other one?
Let's see if I push that one. I didn't even push that one either.
Does the one work underneath? A monitor underneath there.
Well,
when you sit in the chair, there's a monitor right underneath. Underneath.
Let's just push this one button here. So, we miss you, John. We miss you very much. Since I didn't push these either buttons to start with. What was the last question? I forget. Verse 6 or verse 5. Singleness of heart, you touch it in.
I mean, keep it simple. Singleness. So one thing.
Okay, is verse number 6.
We have singleness. Isn't that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
We have an email.
Well, go ahead. Take the email first, and we'll go to verse 6.
Oh, I thought you were in verse 5. You're verse 6.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. 6.
We have email. This is that we were having some trouble with our YouTube audio, and so Wendy was asking about that, and I thought we were working on Bible.org. It has been working there for maybe a week or so. It works there now, and it also works in sermon audio. But she says, thank you, thank you. Sorry I had not heard that your mother is home with the Lord when I wrote this message. That's the message about the sound.
Mm-hmm.
You're all amazing to carry on in the Lord as a tribute to Mrs. Wade. It's from Wendy B.
Wendy Barbie. That's Wade for Wendy and Barbie.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Wendy.
Okay, thank you very much. So many Mondays, we've got to be careful which one it is. All right, Kosick or Barbie? All right, that's verse number. What is the negative in verse number 6 that servants should not have or not do, Tammy?
Not with eye service.
What would that be defined as?
And doing it when someone's watching you.
When someone's watching, what else? Anything else on that?
We're doing it to please them.
All right. And maybe only when people are being watched and watching you, and serve them. But when they're not, just don't serve. Just go ahead and do what you want to do. That's not a proper servant, is it? Servants, obedient, not with eye service, as men pleasers. How would those things be defined? As men pleasers. Any hands on that? What would a man pleaser be? Pastor Dan?
Got a text message from Northfield.
Okay.
He says, I'll be back on Sunday.
Great. Let's wave to John Watkins back on Sunday. We certainly miss you, John. I hope you feel better. I called him today and talked to him a little bit. He said he was all right yesterday and he got bad today. His changing of vitamins and various things are very hard on him. So, not with my eye savers, as men pleasers. What's the difference between a men pleaser and serving your master? Is there a difference? Yeah, Bill.
The difference is purpose. When you're serving the Lord, your purpose in doing what you're doing is for His benefit. You're doing it for His sake. Mm-hmm. Men pleasers, they're doing it to shine themselves
Right. Sign themselves, that's not proper. So it says very clearly, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but what? Well, excuse me, Anna.
Well, eye service, I guess, would have to be as if say, your boss goes to the back, and so then you stop working. Like before, while the boss was standing there watching you, you were making sure everything was stopped.
Uh-huh.
And then when the boss went back to the office to check on some things back there, then you just, like, just decide to lean up against the wall and twiddle your thumbs.
So but what is this last part of this verse say instead of being men pleasers and with eye service? What's the last part of this verse say that we should do? Yes, Tank?
Try to be servants of Christ.
All right.
And the way that we do that is we do the will of God from our heart, from our own desires. We desire to honor and please the Lord Jesus Christ and do God's will.
I said from the heart rather than with the eyes, just people looking at us. And with many people, that's hard for them to do, and they don't do it. Sad indeed. Well, let's read verse number 7, 8, and 9 together. With goodwill, doing service, as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, do it.
The same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free.
Bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them,
for bearing threatening. Knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of the persons with him.
Is that three?
Yes.
Okay. So verse 7, how else should the servants be to their masters? Not with thy service, but doing the will of God. What else in verse 7? Any heads on that?
With goodwill.
Can that be necessarily seen? Okay.
Well,
you can.
Not necessarily
be seen.
But it might be evident. There might be evidence of it.
Yes. But it's not eye service. It's doing the will of God from the heart, a heart work, and with goodwill to the masters. And what's the next thing about doing what? As to the Lord. Doing. How should the master, rather the servant, be serving, according to verse number 7.
As to the Lord and not to men.
As to the Lord and before that even. How should they be
with
working?
With goodwill.
Right, even before that. Well, that's right, with goodwill. Then what's the next thing?
As to the Lord.
Right, and doing service. Goodwill, doing service, as if we're working directly from the Lord and to the Lord. And not to men. There's a difference.
Yeah.
Yes, Pastor Dan.
Harrison used to be from Chicago. I can't remember the town's name.
Highland.
So I call it. They're from Highland. Says,
I think it's Highland.
Pastor with Highland. Pastor Waite's phone is not on.
No.
So maybe that's why I'm not getting the calls. I don't know.
Do you have it?
Let me see.
I can try and call it.
What is wrong with this phone? Why?
Maybe it's not been charged.
Well, I charge it every night. It's not a Dan.
Put the button.
It isn't on. I don't know why it's not on. It's been on for.
It'll be coming on shortly.
Oh, okay, thank you. I'll hold that.
Okay.
I don't know how I got called.
I don't know. I turned it on. So theoretically, you just got accidentally turned off.
Okay, it's on now. Give me a call, please. It's on now. Well, at least it's on for a while, then.
No. Yeah, it probably needs to be charged.
See, it's sort of wiggling now.
Oh, yes. It's going to turn on.
I still working. Sure. Is it still turning on?
Is there a battery indicator on that?
Yeah, Not
it's
yet.
This is
still loading the screen.
Okay. I keep this on all the time, and I plug it in. I never had it go like this. My, my, maybe there's something wrong with it. Mike, Pastor Dan, can you give them your email or your cell phone
sure.
number?
356. 816-7839. And it's 856-816-7839.
I don't know why. I've never heard this before. That's the first.
Is it still not? Yeah, let me.
It's not working. I don't understand. It's broken.
No, it's probably dead. It probably needs to be charged.
It's possible that there was extra strain on it today. There were more, maybe more phone calls than usual. And so maybe it died before it could be charged.
It didn't charge it.
Yeah,
I'll just use Mr. right now. Okay. Oh, you can
put it up there.
Oh, sorry about that. That's the first time it's ever happened that it's not working. Something new is. All right, let's continue.
We'll see if it'll charge up for you.
We'll continue now in verse number, are we at verse number?
Eight.
Verse number eight. Master, do the same thing.
Oh, yeah, we're getting a phone call.
Hello, hello. How are you doing, Rob?
Hi, Dan.
Hi.
Can everyone hear me?
Yes, we hear you. Yes, Rob, we can.
Okay. First of all, I want to give my condolences to the loss of Mrs. Waite, to all the Waite family, and especially to her husband of 71 years.
Thank you, Rob.
And I rejoice that she's in heaven.
Yes.
And I will miss her. She treated me like a son. And I know we all loved her very much. And it'll give us more purpose to, give us all more purpose now to increase our faith and look forward to the Lord's coming and our appearance before Him.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And I do try and call for a hymn. And if we could, at the end, and I heard Tammy, I tried to call. Tammy was playing one of Mrs. Waite's favorite songs, the one that was played at David's funeral when we all get to heaven, okay. At page 624.
All right, we'll sing that at the end, Rob. Let's go.
624.
Thank
you.
Thanks, Rob.
Okay, God bless you all. I'm praying for everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right,
bye-bye.
Hi, Ron.
All right. Hello. Yes. Ron, is verse 7 still, or far away?
Yeah. I think we're on 8, but maybe we didn't quite finish 7 yet.
6, verse 7, with goodwill, doing service, that's for the Lord not to commend. That's how servants should obey. Yes, I don't want to go ahead, Pastor.
And just to follow up from Northfield, yes, we can hear Rob.
Good.
So Northfield can hear Rob as well.
Good.
So that's good. So they hear all the way up here. All right. Goodwill in verse number 7, that's to the Lord and not to men. Do some people serve men rather than the Lord? Mm-hmm. Yes, they do. But we should primarily serve them. We should help our fellow people, but serve the Lord primarily. Did we read verse 8 yet?
Yes, we read it.
Okay. Now, what do we know in verse 8? What do we know these people at Ephesus know? Tim?
That's going to give us or reward us according to what we do.
All right. So, whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. whether bond or free, whether, what does that mean, bond or free?
Whether you're enslaved or you're a free person.
Whether the person is enslaved to some other person or free. Do we read 9 yet?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you masters, here are the masters. We have children, we have servants, we have masters. What does it say about the masters there in verse number 9? What should the masters, what, how would you define a master? How would you define a master? How should that?
Someone that's given stewardship or responsibility to watch over the servants.
All right. Responsibility to watch over the servants. And the masters, what are they to do? The same thing under them. Who's the them? Do the same thing unto them. In verse 8, it's talking about what group? In verse 9, what group is it talking about here?
Well, he's speaking to the masters, those that are, like, just what Pastor Dan said, that are over the others.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking to them, telling them not to threaten. Going kind of back to the fathers, and the same thing, not threatening.
That's threatening.
Kind of a manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
It likens us to the Master in Heaven. Is my phone working on it or not?
What?
Hello, hello?
I'm not exactly, I can't get into it right now. It's charging.
Hi, Wendy. Nice to see
you. To give our condolences to Mrs. Wade. She is definitely going to be sadly missed.
Thank you.
I am so thankful for the blessing book that I have that I can look at her, but thank the Lord she's home with him and she's rejoicing there, and may we all be glorious for her home departure from here to earth to heaven.
Yes,
that's right, Wendy.
So I'm going to miss her, you guys. I miss calling her and kind of her sense of humor when I was saying happy birthday to her, because I don't have a good voice, you guys. But she was always so gracious.
Thanks. That's right.
It's way to Wendy.
Thanks, Wendy.
Closer.
Hi.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, Wendy. Hi, Rick.
All right. Now, were we on verse 9 still? We finished 9, did we?
No.
All right.
I think we're on verse 8.
We're just getting started in 9.
Just we're getting started in 8. Bound or free. And 9, the masters do the same things unto them. What same things are mentioned, and who's the them? In verse 8.
I would think would be the people that are serving them.
Right? Whether bond or free, and those that are serving, those that are servants. You do the service or do something to the masters and be kind to them, and the masters should be kind to the servants as well. To them, probably to them, the servants. Forbearing what? And what does it mean? Forbearing what? In verse 9. What does forbearing mean?
Withholding.
Withholding or not?
From doing it.
Not doing something. Mm-hmm. And forbearing what?
Threatening, so don't threaten.
Don't threaten your servants if you're a master. Because why? Knowing that what is true. In verse 9. What is true? You have a what? And where? Pastor Dan?
A master in heaven.
You have a master in heaven, so don't be forbearing and hard on your servants as a master. What else should not be done if you're a master of servants? In the end of verse number 9. What else should not be done?
Not show favoritism.
All right.
I mean, it doesn't really say that, but it implies it. It says that God in heaven doesn't respect persons, so we shouldn't be showing.
There should be no respect of persons with the Lord, so the master should not show respect of persons either, since they're masters. Now we haven't read 10, 11, and 12 yet, have we? Let's read 10, 11, and 12, Ephesians 6, 10, 11, and 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the forces of darkness of this world, against spirits of wickedness in high places. Three different things we wrestle. In verse 10, finally, he's finally at the end of his letter. Who's he writing to? In verse 10. Who's Paul writing to? Pastor Dan?
The brethren. The brethren. And saved, genuine Christians.
Not writing to unsaved people. These are not respectful things. These are only for the general believers, general Christians, born again, as Pastor Dan said. Finally, my brethren. And what does it say to these brethren, the Christian people that he's writing to? What does it say to them? What's the command he gives to them? And what does it mean, Pastor Dan?
He wants them to be strong.
Well, the opposite of that would be what? Be weak, wouldn't it? What does that mean, to be strong? How? In what way?
In the Lord.
How can a person, a genuine Christian, be strong in the Lord? How is that accomplished? Pastor Dan?
Faith.
Faith? What else? How else?
By obeying the words of God.
Obeying the words of God, and to know what the words of God are, what must be done? Must be read the word of God and follow it and understand it and obey it. By the power, strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might. How do you get his might and his power? Through genuine Christian. Strong in the Lord.
Hello? Hello? Hi, Anne-Marie. This is Pastor Dan, but everyone is here.
We're all listening.
So have it open.
And hello, everyone. Our sympathy and condolences to you. I'll tell you, all of you are like family to us here, so we certainly understand. You know, even though I'm persuaded with the Lord, there's still a bond. And thinking of all of you, and including Bill, and all the good times, wonderful times we've had with each of you and with Pastor Mrs. Wade. And Mrs. Wade had written in my Bible, Pastor Wade did also, but Mrs. Wade always signed in God's care. And she put a scripture verse in my Bible, and she had said, may God continue to use you as your light shines in this dark world. And the scripture verse she used was from 1 Peter 5 on, and starting at verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, with the roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God bless each one of you and send our love to you.
Thank you very much, Anne-Marie. Appreciate that,
Anne-Marie.
Thank you.
All right, our